The scripture reading this day will be taken from Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 39. That's Matthew 15, verses 29 to 39. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went upon the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and he laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion upon the multitude, because they have now continued with me these 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And he took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Of those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Brother Scott.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. We have some guests with us this morning. We're glad that you are with us. Good to be together this morning. Good to see you all. We're going to continue a series this morning on the compelling Christ. And we want to look at some passages. Last week, we looked at Jesus' miracles, why we believe them, why they compel us and motivate us and help us and encourage our faith. This morning, we look at Jesus' compassion, his love for us. And as our scripture reading this morning indicated, it's what we read last week about the miracles. So this very much ties in to what we have previously studied. How we can stand in awe of Christ and the wonderful things that he does for us, knowing his power and why he came. It's this time of the year that a lot of people are encouraged to come back to church. And there are many who are unbelievers who find this year the most welcoming time for them. The most opportune time for them to be in church. If you have friends and family who are not religious or have been distant from the church, now is a good time to be talking to them. Do you have any plans at this time of the year? Are you going to go to church? Are you going to think more about Jesus? And we want to encourage that. I think that's a good thing. I know there's a lot of questions as far as Christmas being a holiday fixed on Jesus, and you know, it's not specifically set out in the scriptures. But I thank God this time of the year that we have a national holiday that recognizes Jesus and recognizes who he is. And I think that is a good thing and something very useful to us to speak to others. So why is it that many people come to church at this time of the year? What are they thinking about? Why is it that the whole rest of the year they haven't been thinking about it? I think there's a lot of good questions there, but it shouldn't deter us from looking at this. I think one of the things that stands out is they know enough about Jesus to know that the man he was, the character he had, the compassion that he demonstrated. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Christ demonstrated his compassion for humanity in the fact that he came in the flesh, that God came and was born. He walked this earth. He became our brother, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. I love that description. Hebrews emphasizes that he is our brother, that he is one with us, that God is simply not a disconnected creator, but that God experienced what man experienced, the heartache and the pain. He experienced death and the suffering. He came and was with us, and the compassion and power he had was demonstrated through him in the miracles and the wonderful things that he did. So I think about the compassion of Christ. I think about his love. I think we realize that, and this is a good time to be emphasizing that Christ loves us. He loves every one of us. And that's why he came. There's no reason why we should just simply take that as a cliche or, well, of course, that's obvious. The Bible emphasizes this, something for us to contemplate and to think about. Not simply to open our Bibles and to read it and say, okay, Jesus came in the flesh. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. What does that mean, and how does it change me? As a Christian, that has changed me. When I read and I see what Jesus has done, it compels me. And hope that it does the same for you. So Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, Paul writes this, having this mind among yourselves. So Paul's saying, I want you to think the way that Christ thinks. I want you to be Christ-like. We live in a world today that would often tell us Christians, well, you're not Christ-like, even when we just preach the gospel. No, we can't do it perfectly, but we're doing the best we can to imitate Jesus. And here Paul says, I want you to have the same mind as Christ does, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is for you to have, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, something to be held on to. But what did he do? It says, when he emptied himself. Here's the example of humility. Christ emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. When we think about Christ, it comes down to that. The most common symbol for the Christian faith is the cross. We think about that. We see the cross and we think of the love of God. We think of what Jesus has done for us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among humanity. Is God's glorious Son. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we have this description right here, that the Word, which was flesh, that was in the beginning, that was with God and was God, became flesh, John 1 and verse 14. And becoming flesh, he glorified God on this earth in the way that he lived, in his sinless nature and his infallibility. It's because of Jesus being sinless, we can trust his words. We'll talk about that more next week. But we entrust ourselves to him and his teaching and what he says because we know those teachings come from love. He glorified God and he was full of grace and truth. He demonstrated God's providence and his compassion and care and mercy through grace. By the things that he preached, he convicted and taught the truth and did not hide it. And if we want to follow Christ's example, if we look at who he is, how he came in the flesh, we want to be more like him. This is what we're going to do. We're going to demonstrate mercy and grace and forgiveness. But we're not going to change the truth for it. We're going to stand on the truth, on the gospel, proclaim it and teach it. I'm not going to alter it. I'm going to present it as the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Here's what we read in Hebrews, one of the passages about him becoming like us and becoming our brother. Hebrews 2, 14 to 15. Paul writes, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who is the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Christ came. This is his love. He died on the cross and suffered these things to conquer death, rising from the dead. He partook of these things so we can relate to him. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible tells us that he was tempted in the ways that we've been tempted. And you continue reading, open your Bible there in Hebrews 2, you'll see that. He knows what it's like to be a man, to live in the flesh, to relate to us. Do we as Christians actually allow Christ coming in the flesh to compel and change us? Well, think about it. How much has Christ changed my life? What effect does he have on the way that I live throughout the rest of this week? I simply come in on Sunday and I recognize, here he is, the Son of God who's come and died for me. I thank God for that and I thank him for his grace, but he has no real change on me. That when Christ has forgiven me, I don't go and forgive others. When Christ has shown me mercy, I don't show mercy to others. That's not change, is it? That Christ demonstrated his faith in God and trust in him. And what do I do with that throughout the week? That he was obedient to his Father in everything. But I make compromises. I come and hear it on one day, and I hear the love of Christ and forget about it on Monday. God help us. Christ's compassion is an absolute truth that he preached. He didn't change it. He didn't hide it. He preached more about hell than anybody else, the consequences of sin and the way that we live. He would confront those who oppose the truth. He would tell them who they were really listening to. The reason he said you don't listen to me is because you're listening to your father and you're listening to someone else. And yet, people at that time, even though Jesus did all these miracles we've read about, even then he healed multitudes of people still criticized him. And when he was suffering on the cross, they mocked him. And it makes you think about it today when someone teaches the gospel. I'm sure that you've shared it with some loved ones or friends of yours. And you say, here's the gospel. And you've had somebody mock you before. And even though it's coming from love within your heart, they turn against it. They might even say, you're not a very loving person for telling me the truth. And when we hear Christ preaching the gospel, we see it. As Christians, we see love in it. And I hope that we can demonstrate that to others. I think about this passage here in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. This is in the context of Jesus seeing the 5,000 after healing them and them being in need of food. Now we're going to, Brother Don read to us about the feeding of the 4,000. We're going to come to that in a moment. But look here, Mark 6, verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And listen to this, he had compassion on them. So what does Jesus do when he has compassion on the great crowd? Not only did he heal them of their diseases, he taught them the gospel. He says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. When we look at the world today and we want to have compassion, we serve them, and we do good things, but we don't hide the truth. We teach the gospel, we imitate Christ. We see sheep without a shepherd, and we point to Christ. There's the shepherd, the great shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. That's what he did. There are sheep without a shepherd, and he taught them many things. That's compassion. That was an act of his compassion. I think about here, Matthew chapter 10, 34 to 37. Hear the words of Christ. As some would say, unless you knew Christ and what he did, you'd be quite offended by the things that he said. Now listen to what Jesus said. He says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. How is that? For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why would Jesus do that? And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Because in loving Christ and loving God, of course, we're going to love all others. We're going to love our neighbors. We're going to love our family. We're going to love our enemies. But he said, this gospel, the truth I give to you, it's going to divide you. There's going to be conflict, even in your own household, between father, son, daughter, and mother. What we need to hear is compassion. Jesus was the most compassionate yet the most forceful teacher to live. I know that's very clear. The things that we read and we see in him, from compassion, Christ, his desire was to restore life and to give eternal life to us. It is through that teaching and the gospel that he proclaimed. He said, I want you to know the truth. Without me, without I am the only way of the Father, and there is no other way. And that's the love that we bring, the compassion there. I want to think about that, what Christ did in service, but also what he did in teaching. See compassion throughout his life. He demonstrated it through his life and in the flesh and the way that he lived. There are a number of things we see in the scriptures that demonstrate the compassion of Christ. One of the things that stand out to me is the resurrection of the widow in the town of Nain. And the scriptures say there, and there were a crowd of people, a multitude that were following Jesus as he was coming up with his disciples to the city of Nain. And it came to the city gates, and out of the city gates was coming a widow. And there were bearers there of a bier that the body of a young man was on. And a multitude was following them. So you have these two crowds coming together at the city gates. And the scriptures say that Jesus had compassion on her after seeing the widow. And in Luke 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. If you're dead and Jesus says to you, arise, what do? Get up. So in Christ's compassion, he raised him from the dead. I think about these accounts, raising of Lazarus, raising the widow's son here, the raising of Jairus' daughter, the power of Jesus and his compassion, that he also rose from the dead to demonstrate to us that one day we put our faith in him, we will do the same. The last day we will rise up. His compassion should be compelling to us today. Teach that same message. As was read to us earlier, I want you to look here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 and following. I encourage you to read this and look at it. Make your own observations upon the text. Matthew 15, 29 and following. Here again, we see Jesus' compassion. He heals multitudes of people. They're coming to him. They've been with him for days without food. And his compassion upon them was to feed them. They heard his teaching, and he felt for them. He wasn't simply saying, well, of course, you should have come to me. I know it. I'm the only way. You should have been here anyways. He didn't have a condescending attitude about it. It says here, and this is what I observe, this is what I see from Matthew 15, 29 and 39. Jesus demonstrated compassion in healing the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute. That Jesus had compassion on the crowd, being with them for 3 days, and they had nothing to eat. That's the longest that you've gone without food. That's about how long the longest I've ever been without food is 3 days. And you know that feeling of hunger and weakness. Christ being compelled, fed them. Showed the power of God in his compassion. So he fed 4,000 men plus women and children with 7 loaves and a few fish. Here's the truth we see throughout the Bible. Jesus cares for you. You're sitting here this morning wondering, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I feel hopeless. Christ loves you. The message we read throughout the scriptures, God so loved you, sent his only begotten son. That's why he came in the flesh. That's why he came, bore the temptations, the trials, the suffering, and died for us, and conquered death. I love this passage here. Look here in 1 John 3, 16 to 18. Listen to what John says here. He says, by this we know love. This is what sets Christians apart from anybody else. Jesus even said this to his disciples. They'll know you by your love. But what love? Because you love the way that I love. And we see John repeating it here. He says, by this we know love. How do we know love? Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for the brothers. And what's it mean to lay down our lives for the brothers? It means, but he says this, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? It's because of the gospel, what Jesus did, that love abides in us. In fact, John explains that God dwells in us and abides in us because of love. And that's how we know that God is dwelling within us. Because it's not simply that I love others, but that I love people the way that God loves me. That I look at his example and I demonstrate it as best I can to others. And he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Don't just say it. Don't just talk it. Do it. You see someone that is in need around you, give to them. If you're like me, in my wallet, it's mostly a bunch of cards, right? And whenever somebody's in need, it feels like a hassle. Got to go to the bank, take the money out. I encourage you, be thinking about those around you. Keep some cash in your pocket. Just for the purpose of giving. Demonstrate and serve and show that example. Show the world what it means to lay down our lives the way that Christ did. As Christians, we know that Christ changes us because it's through him we know love. And I hope this morning that you contemplate and think more deeply upon who Jesus is. I want you to think about through this series, what is it that compels you about Christ? And maybe some things that I'm missing, I'm overlooking, that has really changed you and affected you and convicted you. And let that be a part of what you teach and show to others. The truth is, this morning, Jesus loves you. We know the love of Christ through Jesus, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This morning, if you believe, you know the love of Christ. Why don't you confess that faith that Jesus rose from the dead? Confessing that faith, die to your sins, repent, be buried with him in baptism, and rise up into the newness of life. That's where God's grace is, according to Ephesians chapter 2. that we follow Jesus' example, that we die to this world, and through baptism rise up in the newness of life. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you're not saved yet. If you've not been baptized, you're not saved yet. I encourage you to come forward. If you need prayers and encouragement, we encourage you to come forward right now while we stand and as we sing. Please come.